song is a song that teen challenge sings to us often. Amen? We have a teen challenge graduate here today. And we have people from Washington State, and we have people from neighboring towns, and we have you, and I'm thankful for every one of you. Let's pray. God, we so love you. We so need you. Even sometimes we act like we don't, say we don't, or think we don't. We desperately do. We need you in our families, Lord. We need you as individuals. We need you in our churches. We need you in America. We need you, Heavenly Father, as much perhaps in any time in American history, we need you. And I'm so thankful for the freedoms of America. I'm so thankful to be born and raised in this great nation. I'm so thankful of all the things that we enjoy. We take for granted, in fact, where people around the globe haven't got anything like what we've got. And I'm so thankful for that today. I'm so thankful for churches that are open and people that are going there. And I'm so thankful, Father, that your word will not return void. And again, Heavenly Father, I just want to pray for everyone here. I pray that we can set the things of the week aside and allow your Spirit to speak to us, to heal, to touch, to encourage, whatever it is we need, to save, perhaps today, to forgive, whatever it is we need, I pray, O God, our hearts, our ears, our minds, our souls are attentive and open to you, the living God, and not only us, but our community, the communities from which we come, our nation. I pray that we would be open and attentive to you, the living God. We pray for our sick folks. We pray that you'd encourage them, strengthen them. We pray for those that are lonely, comfort them. We pray, Father, for those that are dying, draw them near. Especially those that might be dying that don't know Jesus Christ as Lord, draw them near. Help their eyes to be open to you, Heavenly Father, to Jesus Christ, so that they could cry out the name of Jesus and surrender to him and be saved. I pray this morning for military families, those that have received back their loved ones, missing parts, couldn't cope, couldn't bear their post-traumatic stress disorders and their missing limbs and TBIs. And Father, we pray for military families this morning. We pray for our missionaries this morning. Encourage them, strengthen them, protect them, help them to shine like the noonday sun. We pray for the persecuted church this morning, Heavenly Father. Encourage them, strengthen them too, and help them to be bold in their faith. Oh God, we need you. And so as we have gathered here this morning, your Spirit is here. Continue to speak to us. Glorify your name. I pray for marriages today, Father. I pray that you would help marriages that are struggling. Help them to see you, trust you, love you, rely on you, and love each other more. Thank you for single people. Help them, Father, to walk this pathway called life steadfastly in Jesus. Thank you again for VBS. Guide and direct us. Glorify your name. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm hoping that at the end we have time for both our hymn and the song, The Stand Again. And I am going to invite you at the end to, if you want to be prayed over or pray at the altar here, we're going to take time to do that. I think we have time. It isn't even 9:30, so we should have time. Last week, I only had 10 minutes to preach, and this week I got all kinds of time. So I hope we have time for two songs in close in worshiping God in song. You know, there's a lot on my mind this morning. John 6:66, for one thing, is on my mind, and you don't have to turn there, but I'm going to repeat it for you. It says this: from that time, many of his disciples went back and followed him no more. Now, there's a story behind that. You have to read that in John chapter 6. But that's on my mind this morning. Many of his disciples went back and followed him no more. What if Jesus, brothers and sisters, listen to me for a second. What if Jesus asked you to actually suffer for him? Are you willing to suffer for Jesus? I don't mean the arbitrary somebody along the street or somebody in school or somebody at work scoffs at you a little bit or ridicules you a little bit because you're a Christian. I mean suffer for Jesus. I just finished reading a book that Marie gave me. It just breaks my heart. It's called Killing Christians, written by Tom Doyle. I don't know, she gave it to me sometime this week, and once I started reading it one evening, I couldn't put it down. After reading a couple hundred pages of how Christians are dying, or at least willing to die for Jesus all over the Middle East and all over the globe, no matter what, they're willing to die for Jesus. And I wonder if the church in America, are we willing to die for Jesus? Or would we be like the crowd in John 6:66? From that time, many of them said, "No, sir, I'm not going to be disciples if I got to go there," and went back and followed him no more. Each one of us needs to answer the question, am I willing to suffer for Jesus? You see, our faith, friends, it really depends on how deep it is. And we've been talking about discipleship and being disciples and making disciples. But our faith will really come to play out if we are challenged with our life. Are we willing to suffer for Jesus? Are we willing to die for him? They are all over the globe, with knives held to their throat and the machete ready to come down and take their head off, and they won't recant Jesus because they know he's real and their faith is deep and they are willing to suffer and to die for Jesus. I wonder if we are. After reading that book, my faith has been challenged. Not that I doubt, but am I really willing to go where Jesus wants me to go? Are we, the American church, willing to go where Jesus asks us to go in our faith? In the Middle East, Jesus is showing up. He's showing up to people in visions and in dreams. And they know by trusting him it's going to mean separation from their family, husbands and wives. Remember where we started this conversation back in Luke? Jesus said, if you will not hate your father and mother and hate your sons and daughters and hate even if it were your own life, you cannot be my disciple. And I told you then, and I'll tell you again, Jesus is not to command, thou shalt hate your husband and wife, or wife, thou shalt not hate. He's not commanding us to hate your children. But he's saying, brothers and sisters, if you're not willing to put me first, you cannot be my disciple. And Jesus is showing up to people all over the Middle East. Hundreds and thousands of people are having visions of Jesus, primarily Muslim people, who know Jesus as a prophet, but not as Messiah. And when they put their faith in him as Messiah, their families kill them. They throw them out. They ostracize them. They kill them. And it is not a pretty sight. They are willing to suffer and to die for Jesus. I wonder, as disciples of Christ, Are we distracted at minor inconveniences? Oh, you don't tell me I got to go to church today. Oh, don't tell me, Jim, I should read the Bible. Don't tell me I should pray. Are we willing to die for the Master? Because people all over the globe are dying for Jesus today. I wonder sometimes, how deep is my love for Jesus? If I had a knife to my throat, like one of the stories in that book of a Christian, I think it was in Egypt or Saudi Arabia or somewhere. Or if I was on my knees at the edge of the Mediterranean with the machete-wielding persecutors ready to remove my head, I wonder how deep really is my love for Jesus. You see, because when we started this journey the other day, a few weeks back, Jesus said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his family, in comparison, and hate even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. That's what he said. And I wonder how seriously today in America, and even in Motley Free Methodist Church, and in your churches, how seriously do we take our walk with Jesus? As I mentioned last week, so much of what was at conference just a week ago, some of us were at conference just a week ago, goes right along with what I was saying in this discipleship series. And a couple of comments that I'm going to repeat today come from our Bishop David Kendall, who is a man of God, and he challenged us. He challenged us, Denny Marie as pastors. He challenged us, Richard. He challenged us, Linda as delegates. He challenged us. And one of the things he said is walking with Jesus will require change, change, and more change. If you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 10. I'm going to refer to some verses in the first 20, not all of them. I'm not going to take the time for all of them. Once I read the story in parts, you'll know the story. Luke 10. 1 to 20 is where our text comes from this morning. If any of us, brothers and sisters, are not willing to change for the Master, we must not be willing to follow Him either. Are you hearing me this morning? Our bishop is right when he said, walking with Jesus will require change, change, and more change. And if we are not willing to walk with Him, and to change, then why do we call ourselves followers? Why do we call ourselves disciples? Luke chapter 10. After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also, and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. Then he said to them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves. I'll give you a little picture on that in just a moment. Verse 19, heal the sick. Say to them, the kingdom of God is near, has come near to you. But whatever city you enter and they do not receive you, go out into its streets and say, the very dust of your city which clings to us, we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near you. Receive him or not, Jesus is telling them. Tell them the kingdom of God has come near. Verse 17. Then the 70 returned with joy. The 70 had gone out. They had done what he asked them to do. And they returned with joy, the Bible says. Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And 18, Jesus, and he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you. He's talking to the 70. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, I say, hallelujah. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. One of the men that I read about in this book called Killing Christians, as he was encouraging others, they gather at 1 o'clock, 3 o'clock a.m. It's the only time it's safe. And sometimes then it's not safe. And one of these, at 1 o'clock one morning, said to those that he was encouraging and to go out and be disciples and disciples makers, he said to them, go in the authority and the power of Jesus. You're bulletproof until Jesus says it's time to come home. And Jesus said the same thing right here. He said that scorpions, you can tramp on scorpions and you can tramp on serpents and you have all power over the enemy and nothing shall by any means hurt you because you are his disciples. And until the time when he says, nothing will hurt you. Bishop Kendall asked us this question. Or he made this statement. Maybe it's a question, I don't know. He said this, did you know that many, many people would rather die than change? Ponder that for a moment. Did you know that many, many people would rather die than change? Let me give you an example in case nothing comes to mind. The heart surgeon tells somebody you love, somebody I love, and I'm not condemning smoking, but it's an example. If you don't stop smoking, you will die. The heart surgeon in Mayo Hospital tells them that. Their local doctor tells them that. If you don't stop smoking, you will die. It will kill you. It's killing you now. And yet smoking doesn't stop. Just a little example about what Bishop was saying. Some people would rather die than change. The would-be followers, sometimes the would-be followers of Christ, listen to me now, would rather die than change to follow Jesus the way he asks us to follow. The would-be disciple sometimes would rather die than change to what Jesus wants us to change. Walking with Jesus will require change, and more change. Jesus came to bring change, did he not? He came to bring change. Jesus then appointed 12, and then he appointed 70. And if you happen to be reading in an NIV this morning, it says 72. So excuse the little discrepancy. I read from the New King James Version, it says 70. Your NIV says 72. But whatever it was, Jesus commissioned these 72. These people were not preachers. They weren't missionaries until he appointed them. They were everyday people. They are lay people going out to do the miracles of Jesus. Everyday folks. Remember what he said to them? The harvest is great and the laborers are few. The 12 wasn't enough. The 70 was enough. You're not enough and I'm not enough. He said, the harvest is great, the laborers are few, therefore pray the Lord of the harvest that he will send out laborers into the harvest. That's us. Change. Allow him to change, to become disciples, and allow him to continue to change us and be disciple makers. The harvest is great, he said. We could throw up our hands and say, What do you think I'm going to do? I'm one person, and we got a few troubles in America. What do you think I'm going to do, preacher? We could throw up our hands and just say, I can't do anything. We could do that. Or we could do like the individuals are doing in the Middle East, or these 70 individuals did, and we could make a difference for the kingdom of God today right where we're at. We could give up and we could say, I can't make any difference. I'm not a disciple. I'm not a disciple maker. Or we could pray to the Lord of harvest and ask him to fill us with his spirit and lead us to wherever it is he wants us to go and be change agents for the kingdom of God. We could do that too. I don't know if you have noticed or not, brothers and sisters, but there is an urgency for spiritual matters in society today. And I recognize we're not in the Middle East. I recognize we're not in North Korea. I recognize we're not in China, Vietnam, Indonesia, Pakistan, or these places where in some cases it's against the law to be Christians. I realize that. That doesn't mean our faith should be shallow. It means we should still be able to answer the question, am I willing to suffer and die for Jesus? Am I willing to follow Him faithfully, trusting Him to lead and to guide and to direct no matter where He takes me? Go your way, Jesus said, to the everyday people. These 70 people were not clergy. They were not the 12. Go your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves. When I read that book, Killing Christians, it is lambs among wolves. My father, who happens to have raised sheep for the last 65 or 70 years, I know a little bit about wolf and sheep connections, relationships. They don't get along. As a matter of fact, oftentimes when wolves are teaching their young how to kill, they kill wantonly and leave them lay all over the pasture. Jesus said, in some cases, you are going to be like a lamb going out into wolves. They will kill you. They will tear you to shreds. They will beat you up and leave you for dead. But He said to them, go anyway, because I'll be with you. It will be dangerous. It's not a vacation. Rejection can be expected, He said to them. This is not some friendly, nonchalant walk around. It's a deliberate, intentional, and for many, an earth-shattering and life-changing event to go out and be His disciples and make disciples. But He said, go anyway. And in some cases, it will cost their lives. It may cost ours. Our bishop challenged us this way. He said, Free Methodists are not living changed lives, therefore not becoming change agents. That challenged me. Free Methodists, who we happen to be, the Free Methodist denomination isn't what saves you, Jesus saves you. But we happen to be Free Methodists, and we are at a Free Methodist conference gathering, and our bishop challenged us and said these words, Free Methodists are not living changed lives, therefore not becoming change agents. You say, Jim, I don't believe it. I don't believe that's scriptural. I believe it is. Because in Matthew 5:16, Jesus said this, Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. That's exactly what the bishop said when he said, If we're not living changed lives, we will never be change agents. Brothers and sisters, if we're going to go through life 6 days a week looking just like the world, we're not living for Christ. We're not going to be change agents. If we're going down the pathway, the broad way that does everything that the world does, we'll never be change agents for Jesus. And I think He's right, and I know Jesus is right when He said, Let our light shine, so shine that men around us see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. That's what He's saying. People of God, we should live changed lives and be change agents for Jesus. I've said this over and over, friends. You've heard it enough. But when we really encounter Christ, when we really surrender to Him completely, He will change you. Amen? He will. Because He's got a better way. He's got a new day. When we really surrender to the Lord of the universe, the one, the only one that died on the cross for our sins, when we genuinely surrender to Him, and I don't mean, like I said a couple of weeks ago, discipleship is more than a prayer. When we really surrender to Him, when we really put Him in control of our lives, when we really let Him lead in every decision and every act and every word, He will change you. If you want a double dose, Sunday school class is talking about the same thing. You can talk about this walking with Jesus some more in Sunday school class. Let me try to wrap it up so we can sing both songs. I've been thinking, Eva, as I've been challenged by the bishop, and as I have read this book in the last week, is it possible, wherever you come from today, a lot of us are from Motley or this very local community, but not all of us, and I'm thanking God for all of you that are here. Is it possible that we, the church, are not having much influence in our communities because we are not living change lives? Is that possible? Are you hearing me, friends? It isn't just Jim, and Jim needs to work on it too. But followers of Jesus Christ, if we allege we are followers of Jesus Christ, we need to follow. We need to be his disciples. And I'm wondering today, is it possible the church is not having the influence in society that we should because we are not living changed lives? This is what Richard was talking about last week when he shared that God wants to partner with the church. Of course God can do whatever he wants, but he wants to partner with the church and use the church to bring glory to his name. He wants to partner with you and I in everyday living. None of that's going to happen if we aren't living changed lives first. The mission of the Free Methodist Church of the United States of America is to simply love God, love people, and make disciples. That's what we're called to do. And this last challenge I'm going to close with, then we're going to sing both those songs. This is also from the bishop, but it spoke to me. And Jim, it starts with Jim this morning. Could it be we're not loving others and making disciples because we really don't love God that much either? We say we do. But could it be that we're not loving others like we've been commanded to do? Love our neighbor as ourselves. Doesn't matter what color they are. Doesn't matter what kind they are. Doesn't matter if they're rich or poor. We've been commanded to love our neighbors as ourselves. Could it be that we're not loving them and we're not making disciples because we really don't love God that much either? I told you he challenged me. And I want us to be change agents for Jesus. I don't care what the name on the sign outside, up front is. And the bishop knows my heart. I happen to appreciate the Free Methodist Church, but that's not what saves you or me or anybody else. Jim doesn't save you or me or anybody else. It's Jesus. And until we surrender completely to Jesus and our change, we will never be change agents for Jesus. We must let him come into our lives completely and change us to be the followers of him that he wants. So we are his disciples, and we go and make disciples. Praise team, will you come and lead us? We're going to sing that praise song, The Stand. There's a lot of words in there. I want us to pay close attention to those. And we're going to sing that hymn also that we have listed in your bulletin. You want to sing that one first? We're going to sing the hymn first. So, it'll be on the big screen. What page is it? 337. Let's stand together. We're going to sing the hymn, and then we're going to sing The Stand. And if you're here this morning, and you're not exactly where you should be with Christ, then get there today by faith and his grace. I'll pray with you. Marie is here. Pastor Richard is here. We'll pray with you if you want to come and kneel at the altar and pray. If you want to be prayed over for something, we'll pray with you. Just come forward and we'll lay hands on you. Listen to the Lord. Listen to the Spirit and respond accordingly. Let's bow our heads, friends. And I just want to invite you again, if you're here this morning and not absolutely sure your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life because you have been born again, get right with God today through faith in Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning and struggling, pour out your heart to Him. He already knows. Trust Him. Hang on to Him. Let Him guide you. Father God, we praise You. We worship You. We say thank You for loving us when in many, many occasions we haven't been very lovable. Thank You for Your patience with us. Thank You for Your grace. Thank You for Your mercy. Thank You for forgiveness of sin. Thank You for calling us to be disciples and then calling the church to be disciple makers. Help us, O Lord, to love You deeply, to surrender to You fully, to commit to You wholly, to be disciples that are passionate followers, just like the 12 that when Jesus walked this earth, the 11 and then 12 that followed Jesus even unto death. Help us, Father, to love You that way. Help us to let our light so shine before men that men and women will see the good works of the church and glorify You, our Heavenly Father. Oh, Lord, we surrender to You. We invite You, take over our lives, take over the church, glorify Your name. Go with us, Lord, to class, to home, to travel, to whatever else, to VBS tomorrow, to whatever else there is this week. Go with us by Your Spirit's guiding hand, O God, and help us to be disciples, passionately in love with Jesus, passionately loving our neighbors as ourselves. Go with us, O Lord, and equip us, I pray, in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.